The reading this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 to 30, and you can find on page 1010. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about the hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on the human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and they out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. It is a hard teaching and challenging in front of us. Please give us ears to hear and soften our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look around our world today, you notice something interesting. The people want to be seen clean. They may not use that word, but idea is everywhere. People want to be known as kind, generous, helpful, and influential in a positive way. Everyone wants a reputation for goodness. We care sometimes a bit too much about how others see us. So people set up their own standards. If I follow these values, I'm a good person. And everyone has their own version of clean. For some, it is being socially responsible. For others, it's being moral or charitable. For others, it is being authentic or tolerant. Whatever the version, people follow traditions, spoken or unspoken, to feel clean and to appear clean. And that's exactly what's happening in Mark chapter 7. The Pharisees and teachers of the law had built a whole system of traditions that were meant to express devotion to God. Washings, rituals, rules, boundaries. Their intention started fine. They wanted to honor God. They were really serious. But their traditions slowly replaced the heart of God's word. Instead of God's word, their rules became a way of measuring whether someone was clean or unclean. Jesus confronts them directly because the issue of cleanness isn't about hands, rituals, or traditions. It is about the heart. Jesus teaches that our real uncleanness does not come from outside us. It comes from deep inside our heart. Our problem isn't dirty hands. It's a dirty heart. That's why human traditions, rules, or outward behaviors cannot make us clean before God. Only Jesus can cleanse the human heart. Today we will walk through this passage with three clear truths. The human traditions cannot make us clean. The second, the human heart is the fountain of evil. Third, Jesus is the heart surgeon to make us clean. Let's walk through the story and hear the voice of Jesus calling us to real, lasting cleansing power. The first, human traditions cannot make us clean. Verse 1 to 5 set up the conflict. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law from Jerusalem saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. They aren't concerned about hygiene. This is about religious purity. And verse 3 continues, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. The key phrase is the tradition of the elders. These are not God's commands. These are rules developed by rabbis over generations, rules built around the law to protect people from accidentally becoming unclean. Their intentions started as devotion. They wanted to honor God by being extra careful. But over time, they turned human traditions into divine standards. They elevate tradition to the level of scripture. And eventually, tradition replaces scripture entirely. So the Pharisees ask Jesus in verse 5, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? They are not gently curious. They are accusing Jesus of spiritual carelessness. But Jesus responds one of the sharpest rebukes in the Gospels. Jesus quotes Isaiah to expose their hearts. Look at verse 6 to 7. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And Jesus sees straight through them. Outwardly, they look spiritual. Inwardly, their hearts are distant from God. Their worship is empty because it is built on human rules instead of God's word. Human traditions plus religious zeal equals hypocrisy. Look at verse 8 to 9. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. They have replaced God's clear, life-giving word with human ideas. Jesus then gives a concrete example, Corban. The Corban loophole. God's command is straightforward in verse 10, honor your father and mother. But the Pharisees developed a tradition where someone could declare their possessions, Corban, dedicated to God. It means they couldn't use those resources to support their aging parents because they have dedicated some of their possessions to God. The person still has access to the money for themselves. They just don't have to help their family. It is a corban, religious loophole, a way to look spiritual while breaking God's command. Look at verse 13. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition, and you do many things like that. Human traditions, even with good intentions, can easily drift into hypocrisy. They can replace God's word. They can make us proud. They can make us judge others. They can give us a false sense of righteousness. Jesus warns us, anytime a human practice replaces God's word, we are in danger. Here is the key problem. People create traditions because they want a simple outward way to feel clean and to appear clean. Jesus teaches that it is all because their hearts are far from God. Outward acts can never cleanse the inward heart. Human traditions cannot make us clean because the human heart is far from God. That's the second point. The human heart is the fountain of evil. After exposing the heart of the Pharisees, Jesus turns to the crowd look at verse 14 to 15. Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Then the groundbreaking statement. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. This overturns the centuries of ceremonial thinking. The people believed purity was mostly about managing defilement from outside the sources, unclean foods, Gentiles, sinners, dirty hands, improper rituals. But Jesus says, you are looking in the wrong direction. The problem is not out there. The problem is in here, our hearts. The disciples are confused. When they ask Jesus to explain, he says in verse 18 to 19, are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing can enter a person from the outside, can defile them? It doesn't go into their hearts, but into their stomach. This is huge. Jesus has authority to redefine purity. And Jesus has authority to override the ceremonial law. And Jesus has authority to determine what makes someone clean. And then Jesus gives the devastating truth. Look at verse 20 to 23. What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thought comes, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. The heart is the fountain of evil. This is our Creator, Jesus' diagnosis of human condition. In the Bible, the heart rarely refers to physical muscle pumping blood. Instead, the heart is a comprehensive metaphor for the core of your being, my being, which is real you and real me. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 teaches us, God looks at our heart while people see your outward appearance. So King Jesus, the spiritual heart surgeon, diagnoses our hearts as the fountain of evil after looking at our hearts with his eyes like a blazing fire. Jesus does not even talk about outward behaviors here, but rather thoughts in our hearts. Who is free from all these evil thoughts? Everyone being throughout history is guilty. Your greatest danger is not society. Your greatest danger is not bad influences, bad experiences, or bad childhood, or bad parents. Your greatest danger is not unclean hands, food, or rituals. Your greatest danger is your own heart. While we point the fingers at each other, Jesus tells us we experience broken families, broken society, broken relationships because of our hearts, the fountains of evil. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 declares, the heart is deceitful above all things beyond cure. The Pharisees misdiagnosed the problem. They thought evil was out there, so they developed countless rules to protect themselves. In the same way, we often misdiagnose the problem today. We try to create a better society by removing evil out there. We assume evil is rooted in systems, politics, cultures, or circumstances. We see ourselves mainly as victims of it. But Jesus confronts that assumption. The primary source of evil is not outside us. It is within us. This is why human tradition, ideologies, philosophies, and politics cannot cleanse us. Jesus says human heart is the fountain of evil. You cannot clean a polluted fountain by washing the cup. If the heart is corrupt, everything that flows from it is corrupt. The world tells us today to follow our temperament and our feelings and emotions, saying, as long as you're happy, be yourself. But if you do so, you only prove you are dead sinners, full of evil in your hearts. Let me remind us again, every system in the world, family, politics, economics, education, so on, is broken because human heart is broken. That means no system, no rule, no tradition, no ritual can heal the human heart. We need someone greater. That is our final point. Jesus is a spiritual heart surgeon. Jesus never exposed the problem without offering himself as the solution. The God who sees the depth of our uncleanness is the God who came to cleanse us from it. The one who diagnoses the condition of our heart is also a spiritual heart surgeon who has the power to cure them. At this point in Mark's gospel, something very interesting happens. Mark does not stop at exposing the uncleanness of the human heart. Immediately after Jesus declares the uncleanness comes from within, Mark shows that Jesus is the only one who can cleanse our sinful hearts and reveals the kind of person who actually receives cleansing. In verse 24, Jesus leaves the Jewish territory and enters the region of Tyre, a Gentile land. This is not accidental. Mark is teaching us something profound. The problem of a human heart is universal. Not only Pharisees or teachers of the law, but all of us. So is the grace of Jesus. And there Jesus meets a woman who embodies everything he has just taught. She's a Gentile. She's a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. Matthew tells us she's also Canaanite, descended from cursed people. She comes from a region known for idolatry and vile religious practices. Jews call Gentiles dog. So she's a dog in their eyes. She's utterly unclean, racially, religiously, morally. She has no tradition to stand on, no law to appeal to, no righteousness to represent. And yet she does exactly what the Pharisees didn't do. She comes to Jesus in humble faith. Verse 25 tells us that she has heard about him, and faith comes by hearing. She does not come because she thinks she deserves help. She comes because she believes Jesus is who he says he is. Since she has heard about Jesus, this is what she does. Look at verse 26. She begged Jesus to drive out demon out of her daughter. She begged Jesus. This must be the attitude if we want cleansing of our hearts, the fountain of evil. There is no other doctor who can give us a heart transplant, removing a heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh, but Jesus alone. So she begs him. This should be our attitude when we come to Jesus. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 records her cry, "Lord, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And this is the voice of a woman who desperately recognizes his identity, recognizes her need, and recognizes that Jesus is her only hope. This woman is a living proof of Jesus' teaching in verse 14 to 23. She understands, even if she cannot articulate it theologically, that her problem and her daughter's problem is not external. It is spiritual. It is demonic. It is beyond human solutions. So she does not ask for a ritual. She doesn't ask for tradition. She doesn't ask for a rule. She begs Jesus for his mercy. And then Jesus does something shocking. She speaks words that sounds harsh to our ears. Look at verse 27. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." This is not a random insult, but a parable-like statement using common Jewish imagery. And Jesus' statement uses covenant imagery to explain the order of God's saving work. The children represent Israel, to whom God's promise was first given. And the bread signifies Jesus, the living bread, as we saw last week. By saying first, Jesus emphasizes sequence rather than exclusion. His mission begins with Israel, but is not limited to them. The term dogs is softened to mean household pets and reflect the Gentiles' position outside the covenant, yet still near God's mercy. So Jesus is not being cruel. He's revealing the heart. The Pharisees have heard Jesus' word, and they are first given the living bread, Jesus. And yet, they are offended because they think they are clean. They think they don't need Jesus. They think they deserve the bread. They would rather kill Jesus. Their hearts are all exposed, self-righteous and hypocritical, all kinds of evil from their hearts, the fountains of evil. They have rejected him. On the other hand, this woman hears Jesus' word that exposes her unworthiness, and yet she is not offended at all. It is countercultural today. Are you offended by Jesus' exposing your heart as the fountain of evil today? But she is not at all. Why? Because humble faith agrees with Jesus that our hearts are the fountain of evil. This diagnosis is from the heart surgeon who promised what Jesus came to do. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27, God said, I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Notice the language. I will give, I will remove, I will put, I will move. God does all of it. The cleansing of the heart is his work from beginning to end. Jesus is the spiritual heart surgeon that God promised. So she does not argue. She does not defend herself. She does not claim worthiness. She accepts the truth. I am unclean. I don't deserve anything. Then she says one of the most faith-filled statements in the gospel. Look at verse 28. Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. This is the opposite of the religious leaders' attitude. The Pharisees demand bread, three meals a day, every day, because they think they deserve it. On the other hand, this woman asks for crumbs because she knows she doesn't. And she believes something astonishing, that even a crumb from Jesus is enough to cleanse, enough to heal, enough to drive out demons, enough to save. This is what it looks like to come to Jesus with an unclean heart in humble faith. She doesn't try to clean herself first. She doesn't hide her condition. She does not pretend. She comes exactly as she is, unclean, desperate, broken, trusting entirely in the power and mercy of Jesus, since she has heard about him. And Jesus' response is in verse 29. So such a reply, you may go, the demon has left your daughter. No ritual, no ceremony, no tradition, no outward worship. The just word of King Jesus, our spiritual heart surgeon, and cleansing happens. Mark is showing us something vital. She has heard about Jesus. She has come to Jesus, admitting she does not deserve it because she is unclean and unworthy. But Jesus shows mercy on her. The people who are cleansed by Jesus are not the ones who think they are clean already. They are the ones who know that their hearts are the fountain of evil. The Pharisees wash their hands and remain defiled. This woman bows her heart and is made clean. This is exactly what Jesus has been teaching all along in Mark's gospel. Heart is the problem, and only Jesus can cleanse it. But he cleanses only those who come to him in humble faith. In other words, repent and believe. This means the Christian life does not begin with trying harder to be good. It begins with admitting we cannot. It does not begin with symbolically washing our hands, but with begging Jesus for his mercy. It begins with hearing the voice of Jesus saying, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this," in verse 14. It begins with humility to confess, "Lord, my uncleanness is not outside of me, but inside me. My heart is messy, smelly, and deceitful beyond cure. All kinds of evils come from my heart. Fountain of sin, I cannot cleanse myself. I desperately beg you, King Jesus, my heart surgeon, Lord, I need you. Lord, cleanse my heart." When you come to Jesus like this, not hiding, no pretending, no clinging to our traditions and ways of being good, but bringing him our unclean hearts, he does what only he can do. He forgives. He cleanses. He renews. He transforms. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who writes God's law on our hearts and empowers us to obey. Jesus exposes our heart not to crush us, but to save us. Because he is the only spiritual surgeon with compassion to heal us as we come to him in humble faith. The gospel is not try harder. It is come humbly. The gospel is not moral improvement. It is a heart replacement. As Ezekiel chapter 36 promises, "I will give you a new heart." Jesus fulfills that promise through his blood. If you come like a Pharisee, defensive, proud, confident in your tradition, in your own ways of being clean, you will remain unclean. If you come like this woman, broken, desperate, trusting and humble, you will be cleansed. So hear the voice of King Jesus, the heart surgeon, in verse 14. "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. There is a fountain filled with blood from Emmanuel's veins. If you bring your heart of a fountain of evil and plunge it beneath the fountain of Jesus' blood, your heart will be made clean. If you repent and believe, though your sins are like a scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." So bring your unclean heart to Jesus. Bring your brokenness to Jesus. Bring your sins to Jesus now, just like the woman. Even the crumb of his grace is enough. Jesus cleanses the humble. Jesus resists the proud. Jesus saves sinners. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We heard hard teaching. Our heart is desperately weak, wicked. We need Jesus' blood to make us clean. Please help us come to you in humble faith. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.